He's the St. Edmund head football coach. The Gales are sitting at 3-0. Coach Matt Dillon joins the program this morning, and Coach, 53-27 on a special Thursday Night Lights edition of high school football for St. Edmund here on Sunday 99.7. And I tell you, you were in a dogfight for three quarters, up 27-21. I said, okay, here we go. And then we talk about veteran leadership from seniors, and your seniors made big plays down the stretch.
No question about it, Rob. Listen, I got to give North Union all the credit in the world. They came to play. You know, they came off two tough losses in their first two games. They lost a close one to Mason City Newman, 35-26. Had a chance to be in it late and missed on a play and turned it over. And then last week they lost to Okoboji late. Okoboji scores a late touchdown and beats them 17-13. So, you know, those are hard things to overcome. And then you got a shortened season, and especially this particular week, you know, we had Labor Day holidays, so you kind of burn a day there, and then you're playing on Thursday, so you burn another day. So now your preparation is all messed up from a you know, coaches like structure, right?
Sure, absolutely. You know, routine. Athletes are
teachers of routine. Structure, all of that, and we didn't have any of it last week, you know. So it was a little strange. It's been a while since I've coached on a Thursday night, and it's kind of cool because, you know, you're the only game in town at that point in time. But by the same token, you got all these other things you got to concern yourself with. Did we do enough preparation in the kicking game? You know, we're inside practicing all week long. So as big as our arena floor is, it's not, and the ceiling's just not high enough to work on the kicking game inside. So
we're doing that because of the elements this week?
Elements, and people need to understand this. We do that because of the elements, but also because we have one field that services our varsity practices, our JV practices and games,
middle school
practices and games, and our fifth and sixth grade team uses that field as well. So instead of being selfish and going out there and just tearing the field up, you know, from a practice standpoint, you know, we'd like to conserve it when we can for those teams that got to play games on that field. So so a lot of times when a lot of teams might be outside, you know, we may force ourselves to be inside because we don't want to tear that field up and not make it playable for all of our other programs.
Well, you know, that makes some sense there, and I do see, because if folks don't know, your practice field's right across from my office, so I see the various teams that, you know, it's usually pretty easy to tell by the size of the guys on the field that, oh, that must be the middle school team there, so I do see the various programs there at St. Edmund practicing there. 53-27, you guys beat North Union 26-6 in that fourth quarter. And, you know, the phrase, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time moments, I think that really stands out, and I think that was what you guys did on Thursday.
No question. You know, we got again, it was one-score game. We scored, got up two touchdowns again, and they come right back at us. And Case Baker makes an unbelievable strip on Ryan Lang, pulls the ball out as he's almost breaking away. He's about ready to take another one in the end zone because we just couldn't tackle the guy. And great player. Case comes from the side where he's cornerback position, and he's going to make the tackle. And as he's making the tackle, he makes the strip and falls on the ball, and then we come back down and score again. And that put us up three instead of two. And that was a huge, huge play in the game. We get another stop, and then Parker Oswald makes an unbelievable play on a third and 20 where we're just trying to keep the ball. Drew threw one up to him, and Parker went up. And I'm still trying to figure out how he caught the ball, first of all, and then turned it into a touchdown on the back end of that. I mean, he just went up, made an incredible catch, and made two guys miss right at the point of the catch, and then he's off to the races and in the end zone. And
you know, he's I was able to meet him in person Thursday morning. I had you guys touring the studio and doing what I call the morning tour with the various shows before the game Thursday, and was able to meet Parker. And you know, obviously, you got quality young men there, but Parker is unassuming. He does, you know, he looks like Clark Kent. He plays like Superman. Yeah,
that's right. He's a very quiet young man, very polite, very, you know, just obviously raised the right way. He's got great parents, and they did a great job raising him and all of his siblings. And, you know, and that's the kind of kid that we get at St. Edmunds. I mean, it's just, I mean, when people leave, when they graduate from St. Edmunds, they're going to graduate as a quality human being. You know what I mean? And they're going to be productive in life. They're going to be those my players. My goal for my players, along with obviously playing great football, but I want them to be great fathers. I want them to be great employees. I want them to be the lords of industry here in Fort Dodge and really become those types of citizens that the people of Fort Dodge can be proud of. And I think most of our guys are going to meet that criterion.
Yeah, I think those guys are walking that path. Matt Dillon, the head football coach at St. Edmund, my guest here. Gales are 3-0, beat North Utah 53-27 on Thursday night. You used the phrase of the pregame interview that we did the other day about Drew Schaefer, quote, "It's Drew's world. We're just living in it." Drew with four total touchdowns, two on the ground, two through the air. Absolutely the truth.
Listen, he's been phenomenal. You know, I can't say it any other way. He's at, I think, 8 touchdown passes, 0 interceptions through 3 games. He's over 700 yards passing.
Broke the single game record for the school.
A week ago had 342 yards by our calculation.
Depends on who you ask.
Well,
some people had 339.
Yeah. You know, I give Dana a little grief about that sometimes. Man, you were off by 3 yards, man. Come on. You know, but and maybe it was me that was off by 3 yards, but I'm always going to err on the side of the positive, right?
So. stretch it out the way you can, for sure. You know, I think what gets lost somewhat in your 3-0 start is how good you guys are playing up front. Brock Stonick has become your leader on that line of scrimmage, both on both sides of the ball, is a future college player. But you've got so many other guys, too, that are seniors who have stepped into or veteran players have stepped into that role and really taken it on. And again, some of those guys, not the biggest guys out there for sure, but playing at a high level.
And that's at our level in Class A, you know, teams are not going to have, as a general rule, gigantic offensive lines. You know, you're going to have guys that might be 180, 190 pounds that have to play in the offensive line and defensive line for you. You know, you look at our linebacking core. You got Parker Oswald, that's, what, probably about 175. Sean Flattery, about the same. Those are our two outside linebackers, and I'm not sure we could have two better ones for our scheme and what we're doing. And then you got, you know, up front, you got Andrew Elbert, who's going to mix in there at nose guard. He's also our starting center. He's 5'7", maybe on a good day, and 185 pounds.
Right.
He really had a nice game last week, or this past Thursday night. Really had the best I've ever seen him play, I think. You know, so he's coming along. We actually got two sophomores in the mix in that line. Tyler McDowell, who's coming along. John Nemers, who's going to be a really good player.
But I think
he's a good player now, you know. And so I mean, we got to have all those guys on the field. Nathan Russell came in and out of the game all night long. He's got a little shoulder situation going on. Sometime when he hits it wrong or he gets it stretched out or whatever happens, he's got to come out. And, you know, the trainer's taking a look at him, making sure he's okay to go back in. And you know, Nathan wants to play.
Absolutely.
And he's doing a great job for us up there. Peyton Scott, 3-year starter at tackle. You know, we've had this conversation. Peyton does not look like an offensive tackle.
Not at all. He looks like a receiver.
Yeah. And in some programs, that may be what he plays, or maybe tight end or something. But, you know, he's doing a really good job at that offensive tackle position. And he's also playing some linebacker. We call it the dog position in our 3-5 concept. And then guys like Quentin McCarville, you know, he's a junior. grew up being a wide receiver. We asked him last year if he'd learned to play tight end. He said, yeah, coach. So he's, I just want to get on the field. So, you know, he's our tight end. When we go into our cheetah package, he moves out to a split end. But you know, as a tight end in our offense, you got to be able to block. And he's doing a great job with that. He's really come working hard on that part of the game. And I mean, he's got legitimate size. I mean, he's 6'3". He's probably 180, 185 right now. But, you know, he's only a junior. He's got a whole other year to grow into that. And he's becoming a physical player at the line of scrimmage. And he's athletic enough when you split him out, he can make plays. I mean, I think he had 6 catches the other night for about 61 yards. And, you know, Parker had a little slow start. Not because of him and not because of Drew, but because of, you know, the people saying this is the guy we got to take
away.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Friday or Thursday night, he had 6 catches for 142 and a touchdown. And like I said, that play he made was one of the best high school plays I've ever seen made by a receiver. So he's an outstanding talent. And, you know, and you got those guys all over the map. You got a Case Baker out there. You know, one of the things we talked about and have talked about for 2 weeks is, you know, at some point, somebody's going to determine to stop us. They got to back off a little bit, right?
Right.
And that's what happened Friday or Thursday, I guess.
And you just take the underneath and go.
And you know, Drew goes 14 for 22 for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, and ran into 2 other touchdowns. And you know, that's the other part of the game that people are going to have to be prepared for. You know. We're in a situation, Drew's a guy that we just can't afford to get hurt. So, you know, we're trying to be very careful with him. That's why we waited to kind of put this bootleg stuff in. So, you know, we did not want to take a chance where he took a hit from somebody and all of a sudden it knocks him out for 2 or 3 games or whatever.
Sure.
So, you know, we're just trying to keep him healthy. But he's such a competitor, you know, and really gets it. I mean, he understands the game as well as any quarterback I've ever had. And like I've said, I have zero concern about turning that game over to him. If he wants to call coach, I got this. You got it. Get us in the end zone, you know.
Yeah. He's got an ability, a pre-snap read ability, an ability to recognize what's going on the field, a high football IQ, IQ that a lot of people don't have at the high school level and has really – put that in practice this season and having a tremendous year because of it. Matt Dillon, my guest, St. Edmund football head coach here on the program, 3-0 this year with a win over North Union Thursday night, 53-27. And, Coach, you know, you had some difficulty on the run defense on Thursday night. Ryan Lang.
That's the understatement of the year right there.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
I appreciate it.
250 yards for Ryan Lang, tremendous running back from North Union. Was it mostly because of who you're playing against, or was it some of your own doing as well?
Well, part of it was our getting out of our lane, so to speak, in terms of, you know, gap control and those kinds of things. Part of it was just he's an outstanding tailback and as good as I've seen at the Class A level. I mean, this guy is 6'1", maybe 210, 215 pounds. You know what, you haven't been around and know what a jump cut is. I mean, I watched him make jump cut after jump cut to get himself from a closed lane, so to speak, to an open one and then accelerate out of the jump cut. I mean, that's not something you teach a kid at age 17 or whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know,
that's an advanced thing.
Yeah, that's way advanced. That's like Barry Sanders advanced stuff, you know. And I told him after the game I had an opportunity to congratulate him on his game, and his coach was there, and I said, listen, I said, the one thing I'm glad about is that I don't have to face you again.
You're graduating.
But I said, you are a heck of a football player, and I look forward to watching you play on Saturdays somewhere, wherever that might be. Maybe it's Division II, maybe it's Division III. I mean, you just never know. But this guy's an outstanding talent. He's going to be a heck of a back for somebody wherever he ends up.
Yeah, somebody's going to get a good one in Ryan Lane from North Union, no doubt about that. Coach, let's talk a little bit about Brock Stonick. You know, he's going to move on to the college level. People don't know
You know, he plays guard for you on the offensive side, plays on the defensive line, 6'6", about 250. You know, and I met him and saw him up close for the first time, and one thing I know that college coaches love about him is you see that frame on him, and he's actually a little bit slight of frame at 250 because of how wide the shoulders and hips are. He's a guy that projects to probably – put on 25, 30 pounds without losing mobility and probably move to tackle, right?
As they say at that level, he passes the eye test.
He does, right? Absolutely.
And,
does.
And the first thing that guys look at is what's this kid's frame like? How tall is he actually?
What kind of weight we put on it?
You know, right now he's 250. What could he carry and still be his athlete?
I think 275.
Well, I think it's more than that before it's maybe. You know, and he's going to be a phenomenal. His best football days are ahead of him, in my opinion. You know, this is only his second year playing. He was out for the team as a freshman. At that time, he was probably 6'5 and 180 pounds, and he stood on the sideline. And then sophomore year, my first year here, he didn't come out for football. So I made it my mission
to go get him.
Well, not just him, but I had to convince mom and dad that this was something that.
Yeah, and maybe there's a future here,
yeah,
too,
because exactly.
You can see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, last year as a junior was his first real varsity or high school football action, and he was probably about 210, maybe 215. And he got after the weight room hard in the off season, and built himself up to 250 pounds and did a big summer tour where he could go for camps for different colleges and stuff. And I think just about everyone he went to, he came back with an offer, you know. So he's an outstanding player, but even better, he's a great kid. He's going to be a positive influence on wherever he goes.
Yeah.
In terms of his attitude and his leadership and all the things that he brings to the table, not just from a football standpoint.
He adds a plus in the culture column, too, and that's a big thing for your program, especially at the college level. Who's offered him? Who's he considering? Do we know?
Well, Minnesota Duluth, a Division II school up on the Iron Range there on Lake Superior. Minnesota State, Mankato is another one. University of Sioux Falls in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Morningside, Grandview, Drake University.
It's a lot of Division IIs and even into 1AA.
And the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis.
Which is making the transition to Division
I. Yeah, they're going to be in the same conference as Drake. So he's going to have a list of schools to choose from or whatever it is he wants to get done. One of my assistant coaches played at St. Thomas, Coach Roberts, and he told me that Brock was their number one recruit. So that speaks volumes for
the number one on the target.
Number one on the board. So, you know, when you make number one on the board, that means you can play a little bit, right? And you fit the criterion of everything that they're looking for. So the interesting thing will be what schools are looking at him as a D lineman, what schools are looking at him as an O lineman. And I think it kind of depends on what you're looking at. You know, he plays with such a high motor. You know, that's a tough thing. That's one of those innate things. You don't teach it. You either have it or you don't.
True.
I think. And he's a high motor, what they call a high motor guy, which means he's very active. He's always moving. He's always trying to, you know, if he's in on the play as an offensive lineman, he's throwing blocks till the end of the whistle. If he's a defensive guy, he's on the ball until that whistle blows. He's coming off the ball. He's striking somebody. He's running down the line of scrimmage trying to help make a tackle. And, you know, and that's how he plays. I mean, and it's every down. I mean, he doesn't come off the field for us. So, he's a key cog in our wheel for sure.
Absolutely. He's been your leader at the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be a guy who somebody's going to get a tremendous young man and a tremendous football player on the line of scrimmage, regardless of whether they put him at offensive tackle or defensive end or where they feel like he fits. He's going to be a guy who I think is a difference maker before it's said.
And here's the thing. He's not just going to school to just find a degree. He wants to find a great engineering program.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
and get into some type of engineering, whether it's biomechanical engineering or chemical engineering. I mean, those are things so well beyond me. You know, he scored 30 plus on the ACT. He's got a 3.9 GPA. Yeah. I mean, we're talking the cream of the crop, man.
Usually the GPA guys aren't 6'6"
and 250. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's another thing that's got those guys excited for
sure. No trouble in that academic part. And I was impressed by that when I had a chance to have some of your players in our building on Thursday and walk those guys around and talk about, you know, what do you want to do in the future? Well, I want to be a biomechanical engineer
engineer. You know, and that fits his personality. I mean, that's kind of who he is. He kind of, you know, surveys the scene and comes up with a solution to whatever that problem might be. And football is training him for that. You know what I'm saying? So,
absolutely.
He's another one of those guys with a 3.9 GPA and a 30-plus ACT. So,
Matt Dillon, St. Eben head football coach, my guest here on the IV Fort Dodge Coaches Corner. One last question. 3-0 on the road in week 4, taking on West Hancock, defending Class A state champions. They do have a loss this year, but still a tremendous program. Measuring stick game opportunity for you in week 4.
No question. You know, I've been pointing to this since the schedule came out, and I haven't talked to the kids until after we got through the Thursday night game about how important this can be. You know, you got a chance to measure up against one of the elites, and I'm not just talking about elite from one year. You know, Coach Bob Sanger was there for close to 50 years, if not exactly 50 years. And what a tremendous legacy he left in that program. His son is now, Mark, I think, has taken over the program. It's literally as if Coach Bob Sanger never left. I mean, it's the same offense. It's the same defense. I mean, historically, they've been an unbelievable defensive football team. They just don't let you score. And then on offense, they're going to do enough. And they're going to have the people to be able, like last year, they had three guys over 1,000 yards, one guy over 2,000. I mean, it was sick what they were able to do last year.
And they just dominated people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just from the opening snap, I mean, they just controlled the line of scrimmage and beat you up physically and then just ran it down your throat. And that's what they tried to start out doing a little bit. Weeks 1 and 2, struggled against Garner, Hayfield, Ventura, who's a 2A school, by the way, and a pretty decent program, and lost that game. I think it was 20-6. And then a week ago, they played Forest City, who's another 2A school, beat them 13-7 in overtime. So they hadn't been lighting it up offensively until last night. So that, you know, that gives me a little cause for concern because now all of a sudden they figure out their offensive scheme and what they need to do to score points, and they ran 35 up on Bishop Garrigan like it was nothing. So
they're starting to get right at the wrong time for you.
Yeah, that's never good. So, I mean, our guys, we're going to challenge our defense. They're going to have to play. They're going to have to tackle better than we did Friday. And we're going to see another back similar to Ryan Lang, except he's not as shifty on his feet, but he is a beast. He's probably 215, 220 pounds. Probably instead of 6'1", he's probably 5'10". But, I mean, he's fast, and he'll run over people, and he's not trying to dodge somebody to get out of the way. He's just going to flat run them over.
Yeah.
And I witnessed it last night on their live stream of their game against Garrigan. I'm like, man alive, here we go again.
Well, they have a saying for that type of back where I come from, and they call it a rolling ball of switchblade knives.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's like trying to tackle it.
Yep.
And that's the challenge presented for you. Coach, congratulations on the success at year number 3, a 3-0 start, and good luck in week number 4. I feel confident in saying the biggest game in your tenure at St. Edmund is coming up in week number 4. And so everybody's excited, I know.
Well, here's the thing, Rob. You know, you get into this business to hopefully someday have an opportunity to coach them in these types of games.
True.
And as a player, you play because you want to be able to play in these types of games.
And you work out in the summer for that reason.
And it's why you do what you do to get prepared for a season, is hopefully you get an opportunity to play in a game like this. So we're not going to shrink from the from the opportunity. We're going to go after it. We're going to play this game. Like I told you concerning, you know, schools that are going up against Dowling, you have to go after the king. And if you get them down, you can't let them up off the mat. Because if you do, they're going to come back and beat you.
Right.
And I feel the same way with West Hancock. If we have an opportunity to get up on top, we're going for the jugular. I mean, we're going for the knockout blow.
Gotcha.
You have to, because if you don't, they're going to come back and beat you.
Sure.
And that's the way it is. And when you play teams like that, that's exactly what happens. And sometimes you see teams fall short a little bit, or they get a lead on one of these elite schools, and they are one of the elite programs for sure in the state. And when somebody gets ahead of them, all of a sudden they kind of pull back a little bit. And when you pull back, that's when they come at you.
Yeah.
And
you leave that door open, and they're going to walk through it.
Exactly. So our job is to go after them. And when you get, and our motto with our kids has been, when we get somebody down, we put our thumb on them and put them away. And that's what you have to do in this sport. Sounds cruel. It's not. It's the way the game should be played.
Exactly.
You know? And bottom line is that's what we're going to attempt to do next Friday over at Brent West Hancock.
For sure. Matt Dillon has been my guest, the head coach of St. Evans Gales, 3-0 on the season. Coach, thank you for the time this morning.
Absolutely, Rob. Always love it. It's a lot of fun to talk to you.
We will have you back next week, and we'll talk about that result against West Hancock. And I know that you want to be sitting here at 4-0, and we'll see how that pans out. Could be talking about the biggest win in your tenure at St. Evan.
No question it would be. So, you know, but I don't worry about those things. What I worry about is I want to make sure our kids are as prepared as they possibly can be for the challenge.
Sure.
And it's going to be not just a physical challenge. It's going to be a mental challenge as
Absolutely
well.
Absolutely it is.
Because at some
for
point
sure.
there's going to be a little adversity in that game, just like this past Thursday night, and we got to be able to overcome that adversity and push on.
As they say, when adversity strikes, you got to strike back. Thank you, Coach Dillon.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
That's Matt Dillon, St. Edmund head football coach.